This is kind of a new message to me. Some of this is fresh in my heart because some of the things that have transpired in the last, 72 to 96 hours for me. It's really important that God wanted to put this on my heart to preach. And a lot of good things for you guys to apply to your life and understand as a church and a ministry as we go on and we go forward. So I'm going to try to get somebody to volunteer, if they would, to read from Mark chapter 6, 53 through 56, right after I read this first verse. So if you're on a volunteer read program and you'd like to read out loud, everybody just kind of stopped my heart. Chapter 7, verse 1, then came together, are y'all seeing that? Then came together, Mark chapter 7, verse 1, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem, okay? When y'all see that, I want y'all to get that right there. It says, then came from together unto him Pharisees and certain of the scribes, that's the religious elite, all right? They majored on the minors and minored on the majors. They came down from Jerusalem, okay? So they came down from the holy city, and they're coming down. He's just came back from Gadarene. He's just came back from feeding 5,000, not counting women and children, crossed the sea, stopped in Gadarene, and you're going to hear some information on that when we read those chapters right there, those verses. And then they came to see who? And certain of scribes which came from Jerusalem, right? The first part of the verse says, then came together unto who? Him. Who's him? Huh? God. Jesus. Right? Jesus. So they all got, I don't want to say loaded up because that's a Polk County term for Friday night when we're going grocery shopping when I was a kid. They would say, load up. We're going to town. All right, so I'm sorry. Seventh, eighth grade. Load up. All right, so we're going to town. Sorry. My mind's all over the place right there. Then came together unto him. So the Pharisees, they left Jerusalem, and they're heading to see Jesus. Okay? So when we're looking at that, we're looking at that scripture right there, and you're thinking, okay, they're coming to see Jesus. Let's get some context, because when we get into these chapters and verses, sometimes we forget. The Bible is broke up into chapters and verses for us. It wasn't written like that. These are straight scrolls. These are not these chapters and verses. Men put these in there and they broke them up. So somebody, if they would, please read from 53 to 56, please. And if somebody don't start reading quick, I will nominate somebody. Yes. Is that awesome or what? You know, I made reference to that this Sunday about the demonic man, right? Jesus left the demonic man there, said, go show and tell. Is that correct? So guess what? Jesus makes a return trip there, and guess what? They recognized who he was as a different entry from one reason, because he left a missionary there, right? He left somebody there who is a witness, right? Is that all right? Y'all seeing that? Okay, so what happened? What happened that Jesus, where is Jesus coming from? What drew the attention of the Pharisees and Sadducees? What drew the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious elite? What's got their attention? What made them leave Jerusalem? What made them get up and go? What made them, we've got to go see Jesus? Because he literally was walking down the street and people were touching the hem of his garment. And being made whole, demon-possessed, paralyzed, blind, deaf, dumb. I mean, matter of fact, just in this situation right here, what Jesus was saying, he's emptying the hospitals and the mental wards of Gadarene. Do you think that's pretty cool? I believe that's amazing. Sometimes we read the Bible and we just kind of like, That's a layup. Old Jesus was just healing people and everything. My goodness, could you imagine if that was going on today? He was showing himself God. So the Pharisees came to see him, the religious elite. Man, do you think, let me ask you a question. If you were the apostles and disciples, do you think this would be intimidating? Think about it. If just a group of men, maybe 12, 15, 20, 30 men came into a situation, Wimplers, Mufflers, Crisping Pins, 12 tribes of David, 12 tribes of Israel on their chest, came in smoking incense, turbans on their head, walking in, repeating prayers, chanting, walking, it would be something. Maybe they entered in the house that Jesus operated from. Are y'all good? Think about this. Just think about it. Would that be intimidating to the 12 apostles, tax collectors, fishermen, right? Simon Zelotes, right? Guys that had been picked over, but now Jesus has called. And now think about this. Jesus is so ordinary. Jesus is so ordinary that when they come to get him, to crucify him, they could not pick him out of the 11 apostles. Let that resonate. Jesus looks so similar, so unspectacular. He wasn't like, oh man, that's you. They walked up to him and said, which one's him? Okay, y'all good? Are y'all on the same page when you're here? What are y'all seeing the whole picture of what's happening? Look at this right here in verse 2. And when they saw some of the disciples, now we're talking about the religious elite, we're talking about the legalistic church. When they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. Take a pen and underline those three words right there. They found fault. They found, what'd they find? What were they looking for? You may want to get 100 on this test. What were they looking for? They were looking for fault. What should have they been looking for? Jesus Christ, Jesus. They should have left Jerusalem going, there are people being healed and delivered and blessed, and we don't know how that's happening, but that has to be a move of God. We want to see that. We want to feel that. But instead, they went there with the intent. Find something wrong with this. Ain't that amazing? They've got all the stuff that God had put on them. They've got all the commandments. They've got all the uniforms. They've got the temple. They've got that. They've got all the sacrament. They've got everything laid out for them. And man, God sends His only begotten Son, and He's operating and doing everything that He's supposed to be doing. And the first thing they do is they travel all the way. Man, what a wasted trip. What a wasted trip. Some people are going to make that same trip to church. They're going to come to church, and instead of coming to find Jesus, they're going to come to find fault. And who'd they come to find fault in? His people. Man, look at this guy over here. He's eating with unwashing hands. What are we talking about? He didn't wash his hands, but who is he walking with? Somebody who they know without a shadow of a doubt who just walked down streets. And people were touching the hem of his garment, being made whole. If we just rewind that one chapter in chapter 6, he just got through feeding thousands of people. Wow. What are we doing here? We're coming there to find something. Man, these folks ain't washing their hands. They ain't doing that. They ain't doing that on that. Man, they ain't taking care of themselves. Can you believe? When I read these scriptures, that blows my mind. But you know, that still goes on today. Religion on the outside, it's easy because guess what? When you get in religion, it's easy to find things on the outside that's wrong. It's easy to look at something and compare yourself and find yourself a little bit better than somebody else, no matter what's going on the inside of your life. It's easy to look on the outside. I've seen some people, I'll just do this one. I've seen some people who look at somebody who's been through a divorce and they go, When you raised your hand 5 minutes ago and said, are you a Baptist? That's like one of the biggest rules in Baptist history that you can't break. You ever been divorced, you're out, right? But I know people who have been married for 40 and 50 years who don't sleep in the same bed. Okay. I know people who have been married 40 or 50 years, they haven't even talked nicely to each other in 30 years. Amen? They don't consider one another. They are ships passing in the night. They just go back and forth in life, and they are partners in name only. Lord help. Amen? And they look down at that person, oh, you had a divorce when you were a kid, and you didn't even know no better. But you're sitting here comparing your life to somebody you can't stand your wife or you can't stand your husband. And you sit there going, man, that's hard to preach about. That's the truth, though. Amen? They went there to find fault, and they found it right away. If you walk into this church, you can find fault. You know who you're going to find fault with first? Me. Praise God, I got bunches of them. Amen? I got a bunch of faults. For the Pharisees, verse 3, for the Pharisees and all the Jews except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Man, it's important to wash those hands before you eat. It is a big deal. Man, we just went through a pandemic. Wash your hands, keep your distance, do this thing. But I'm going to be honest with you. If Jesus is in the room, Jesus is bigger than washing hands. Amen? If Jesus is in the room, Jesus is bigger than everything else. Amen? But I've seen some people who've tripped up over traditions, and they'll run their traditions, and they won't let Jesus run in their church. Amen? They won't let Jesus in the church because they have traditions you have to meet. I don't want that. I want Jesus. And I'll do whatever he wants me to do. Or I'll not do what he wants me to do. I'll do whatever he says or not says to do. He says do it, I'll do it. If he says don't do it, I won't do it. I've been completely dressed before on my way to church. Change. My wife didn't tell me. They didn't tell me. Holy Spirit told me. Amen. I've been in my closet putting clothes on, trying to please other people. And God say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. Just go and trust me. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and tables. Man, amazing. That sounds amazing. Sounds good. We got clean stuff. Amen? Wouldn't that sound good? We got real clean. You're sitting there in the presence of God who's casting out devils, healing people. We got clean stuff. Man, I bet there are some churches that are just spotless. I bet they are clean. Ain't nobody sat on these pews in forever. Ain't nobody used this over here in forever. It is nice. We hadn't had a kid take a marker to any of our walls. How about that? Amen? We ain't had one hole in one piece of sheetrock in our whole ministry. That's awesome. That's awesome. Until you realize you're talking about death. Unless you're talking about, guess what? You don't have any life to take over from in your church. You don't have anybody that you can pass the torch to. You don't have anybody who's going to run up beside you and say, show me how to do that. One day, you're going to take the key and lock the door to the church and ain't nobody else coming in. Because you know what you've done? We've got clean stuff, Jesus. We've got brand new stuff. It ain't hardly used, man. The seams on that vent, they ain't even popped. Man, we've got garbage. We've got messes. We've got stuff turned upside down. They took some of the good stuff and messed it up. They've probably messed up walls. They've messed up chairs. I see kids leaning back in chairs. I seen them flipping over chairs. And I'm sitting there thinking, thank God for all the kids. We can get more stuff. Amen? We might wait till they get a little older before we get it, but we can get new stuff. Got to be wise. Especially as some of the Hugheses, they get older. Amen? I had to just say that. Watch this. And the Pharisees and the scribes. Verse 5. Y'all look at this. Really examine. Tighten down right here with me. I'm going to try to do my best to preach this and teach this to you tonight to benefit us. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him. Underline that if y'all are radical. Underliner and highlighter of your Bible. Asked him. Why walk not the disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? Do y'all think that's a wasted question to Jesus? Do you think, let me ask you a question. When you get to heaven, is your top question going to be, hey, Jesus, I met some jokers down there at Flat Top Church. Why didn't they do the things that I wanted them to do? You know what I'm saying? Why didn't they do the things that I wanted them to do? Right? I had some really good ideas and some really good plans and really good thoughts, but they wouldn't do it the way I wanted them to do it. Why didn't you just have them? You're God, so why didn't you just kind of tweak them to get them under them traditions? Why don't you get them to cut their hair a certain way, wear their clothes a certain way? Why don't you get them to carry certain things and do certain things? Why don't you give them a list of things to do? Why didn't you? We've got traditions. Why are you not following them? Could you imagine? That is the wrong question. They came for the wrong reason, and they're asking the wrong questions to God Almighty, who has the power to give life and death, to put you in heaven or hell, to keep you sick or well, to touch every part of your life, to save every one of your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And you ask a dumb question like, why are they not washing pots, pans, and tables in their hands, by the way? What a waste of time. What a waste. You're standing before God, and let's just talk about why ain't they doing it the traditional way. Has the tradition raised one person out of the hospital? Has the tradition got one devil out of one person? Has any of your washing and cleaning and doing all this stuff, has it made one person praise God any better? Has it gave them any joy, any peace, any love? Is there any fruits of the salvation that's in their life? No. They just tell, we wash the tables because they wash the tables. And we've washed the tables for the last 20 years. And we've got these pots and pans. Man, they're beautiful. Man, I don't want that. I've never wanted that. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to do real things. I want the whole world to criticize me, look down on me, think I'm nuts. But guess what? Man, you gotta give it to this. They're seeing things done in the name of Jesus. They're crazy. I don't care what holy rollers on fire for God shout. They run. They pray. They sing songs that we don't like. They wear clothes that we don't wear. But my God, they just seem like they can't keep enough. Why are all the people, and they'll let anybody go to that church? I hope people in town are sitting at restaurants going, man, they'll let anybody up there at that church. They'll just let anybody come in there and worship and praise and do. And they're just letting people join. And they're baptizing people. And some of them had tattoos. Some of them had earrings. Some of them didn't have the right clothes on. You know what? I hope somebody's sitting two tables down from them going, man, I hope they eventually get around to saying what the name of that church is, because that's where I want to go. I hope when they just mention the address, because I'm going to show up. You know how many people on a regular basis in the last 3 or 4 weeks have sent me messages by email, by private message, and text message? Where is your church? I want to come. Sorry, you're in Indiana. Sorry, you're in Memphis. I'm sorry you're here. But praise God, if you won't mind the commute, we'd love to have you. Amen? You guys are, something's happening there, and I want to be a part of it. Well, if you ain't scared to drive, get in the car and come on. We'll feed you when you get here. Amen. Let's go a little further. For laying aside. No, wait a minute. Go back up. So washing hands, verse 6. And then Jesus, all right? Listen to Jesus' answer. This is the best. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied, that's Isaiah, of ye hypocrites, as is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Right? They're talking about holy things, but their heart's not changed. Now listen to this bit, this part right here. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines of the commandments of men. They're doing things to please men. I want to encourage you. I want you to hear this from my heart. Don't do anything to please a person above God. If you're trying to do something to make yourself look like something to another human being, instead of trying to reach God and reach Jesus and please Him, you will fail every time and you'll be miserable. You'll be miserable because you might get, if you don't watch it, you might get it. You might get the approval of your neighbor. Can I help? Can I pray? You might get that person going, man, they're super spiritual. I can take you to a couple people, but man, they would shout. They would say amen. They would do a lot of stuff. But behind the scenes, they were crazy. They were mean. Amen. You might get the approval. Somebody might say, man, that guy right there, that girl right there, she's something. I have heard people pray before. I'm being honest. Don't get mad at me and do not come to me after this service and say, are you talking about me? I'm not. I have been around some people who talk so different to God than they normally talk that I wonder sometimes. I'm like, my gosh, are you talking to God? Were you born in England? Because I hear a slight English accent. Oh, Father God. I'm like, who are you? Why don't you come before God and talk to Him like you talk to everybody else? Sometimes we think if we use these big, awesome, powerful words that somebody's going to be impressed at how we got a hold of God. That's insane. Because I'll tell you where those words go. They went about 2 feet up in the air, and then they land on the floor. But if you pray from your heart, and you talk to your Heavenly Father, they come into the throne room of God, and God hears, and He dispatches answers. He hears and dispatches answers. Angels ascend and descend with the answers and prayers to God and from God. And I don't care if it's as simple and as weird. God, I don't know how to put two sentences together, but I love you. And I need you. And I need your help. You know my heart. You know my mind. I don't need to explain everything to you. Here I am. You know the need. That's some of the simplest prayers I've ever heard. But God is impressed with that more than He is as we try to get the attention to the left or right and pray some eloquent thing that impresses everybody. And everybody says a round of applause and they say, man, I wish I had His voice. I wish He had His power. And there is no power in that. We look at people sometimes and how we give and how we do and watch this and watch me put this in and watch me do that. And God says, you'll get the approval of man. God says this, you should give in a way that your left hand don't even know what your right hand's doing. So if half of you don't know what you're doing, would anybody else know it? Because if you're not careful, you'll get that pat on the back. You'll get that approval. But guess where it'll go? Nowhere else. You know what I like? Y'all might want to write this one down. This one might have hurt a little bit, but I like it. You know what I like God doing? I like doing stuff that God puts on my heart to do because God has an amazing way of paying that back that you can't even explain in dollars and cents. Amen? I mean, there's think God does some things down the road sitting there going, that's got to be a God thing. Amen? And that's far better than getting the approval or appraisals of men. Good Lord. Y'all just say, thank you, Scott. I was about to say the same thing. Good job. He gave me an amen. I feel good about that one. That was an solicited. It was unsolicited amen. All right, let's go. Golly, Bob. Howbeit, go to verse 9. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. Verse 9. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and who curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. What he's saying right there, oh, let me go one more verse. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his mother or his father, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. What he's saying is, you go to your father and mother and say, this is going to be a one-time deal. After that, everything I get from you is a blessing, and we write you off, and I don't have to be a son take care of you or honor you or bless you. I'm moving on with my spiritual walk, and I'm going to take the money that you should give me as an inheritance, and we separate, and we're all good. I don't have to honor you or bless you. And go. We're going this way. You know what God said? Honor your father and mother. What it is, this is what I want you to do. You don't get hung up on the father and mother thing. It is a good one, though, because let me tell you this. You can tell a lot about a human being by how they treat their mother and their father. Amen? If we want to go one step further, mother, father, spouse. Amen? If you can't treat them three right, you might want to sign up for something with those folks. Amen? So guess what right here is? What he's saying is there's people out there who will say all these things. They'll sound spiritual. They'll sound righteous. They'll sound holy. But you know what you do? You lay them out the scriptures and you say, this is what the scripture says. And they say, yeah, but. I'd do that, but I can't. Amen? I would forgive people, but I can't because they might, you know, you don't know all the circumstances. That's not what God says. When God's Word says something, it doesn't matter all the circumstances. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've got to do what the Word of God says. You've got to forgive. You've got to love. You got to people despitefully use you, people that hate you, people that are your enemies. You're supposed to love them. Amen? And you say, I want you to write that. I want you to think about this. Well, I can't do that. You don't, brother, you don't know all the things I've been through. You don't know how I've been hurt. Let me just say this. You take yourself and you put yourself on the cross at Calvary and you die for your own sins. Amen? And after you die, they'll put you in the ground. And after that, you'll be in a place called hell for eternity. Okay? Because you are an enemy of God. You rejected God. You broke of all of God's commandments. You are the opposite of what God calls righteous and holy. By that, you should be separated from God. But one day, God said, I forgive them for what? Everything against me. Amen? So you know what you got to do? I'm not saying you move in with a person. I'm not saying you let them do everything to you. You say, you go to God and you say, God, how do I physically, spiritually, emotionally forgive this person and love my enemy right? Whew. And you know what? Most of the time that ain't for them, it's for you. Amen? Because some of y'all are walking around in your own prisons, in your own cells. And the person you're mad at, the person you're angry with, the people you're hurt with, they don't even know it, they don't even care, and they've moved on anyway. Wouldn't it be good for you just to go and say, God, I forgive them. Can I tell y'all one of the best ones I ever read about in my history? Man, the bind, strangle, and choke guy. Sorry, BTK, BKT, something like that. Anyway, he strangled people, he bound them up, and he choked them to death. All right, y'all good? I know that's explicit. He lived for many years. They found him near the end of his life. You know what? He told a story about a woman. He broke into a house, tied the family up, and he choked the wife out, and he was starting to choke the husband out, and the wife came back too. And as he was choking her out, he looked over at her, and she said, God will forgive you. If you ask him to, he'll forgive you. He reached, crawled back over there, choked her out, and she went out unconscious. Went back to choking her husband and her kids. She came back too. She said, sir, I know you're going to kill me and you're going to kill my family. I forgive you. And God will forgive you if you ever ask him to. There's mercy for you too. choked her out, killed her. But of all the people he killed, hundreds, the only person he ever talked about was one woman who kept coming back alive. And the only thing she ever wanted to do was tell him there was forgiveness for him. Amen? He said, it's impossible. There was a man hanging on a cross, choking back death. We were strangling him. We, us, crucify him. Our sins were choking him out. Our sins had him pierced and hanging on a cross. They pierced his side. They ravaged his body. And before he went out of this earth, he looked down through the annals of time and seen you and said, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive them. They know not what they do to me. We're so vile. We're so wretched. But God loves us so much. Our traditions don't mean anything to God. But how we love and how we operate in God matters. Amen? But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, that ain't right. Let's go all the way down to verse 14. And when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. This is where we're going to close. It's a beautiful verse right here. You might want to make this a life verse. There is nothing, praise God, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. There is nothing on the outside of you that's ever going to defile you. You know what defiles a man or a woman? The contents of your heart. The contents of your heart. When your life is shaken and turned upside down and the contents of your body is shaken, what comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your heart? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? And you can come in here and you can say spiritual things and you can do spiritual things. You can put spiritual things on. You can teach class, preach, sing, do whatever, give, do the whole nine yards. But let me tell you this. If this right in here ain't right, all that other stuff, it doesn't matter. And if this in here is right, God, I wish y'all could shout and praise. Johnny, if everything in here is all right, nothing on the outside matters. Nothing. Nothing we do, don't do, put on, take off, come, sing, shout, run, don't sing, don't shout, don't run, sit, weep, cry, pray. All of it's good. Praise God. God, I don't know about you, but I like that. I don't have to put on for anybody. I can sit right next to the most spiritual looking person in the whole wide world and go, I know him. I know him. I know him. Years and years and years, at the closing of great, here's y'all stand. In New York City, they had this, it might have been the Philharmonic or whatever it was, they had this great show, and every year they had a man get up, and he was a great singer, and he would sing Amazing Grace. And the whole auditorium would give him a round of applause. Well, one year after he got through, another man started singing right behind him. And he wasn't as good a singer about it as he was, but he was singing it from his heart. And he sung it for a few minutes after he did. And about 5 minutes after he got through singing, everybody in the auditorium started praying and praising and gave him a standing ovation. And the man asked him, he said, I sung the same song for years and years and years, and they've clapped for me, but they've never had that response. He said, you didn't know what you were singing about. I've experienced the amazing grace of God. You're singing about something that you've not experienced. I'm the one who's under it. Nobody sings, nobody loves, nobody worships Jesus better than somebody who's been saved by him. Amen? And it doesn't matter what somebody does on the outside of the cup, outside of the bowl, or outside of the table. If you love him, praise God, and you're in relationship with him, you can sit next to anybody in the whole wide world and be competent. Amen? Because you've been called and sent by God. You have to come down to meet with anybody else. I hope we've felt the Spirit of God today.